ABNN mobile monitoring.
K8BCW.
Hello, Bentley. K8BCW from W8RPM. Happy Thursday.
And to you, Ron, on this most beautiful of days.
I'm out and about, running some errands real close to home. It's been a busy week. Going to continue to be a busy weekend. Heard stories about a bunch of trail maintenance. Jan actually went on a hike, I think last Saturday.
Oh, that's interesting. I haven't heard anything about any trail maintenance. Is it a particular section, or is it not needing all hands on deck, or don't you know?
Don't know, but I know it was up around Wilderness, so probably something north of Stutz or north of Pleasant Valley Road.
Gotcha. Okay, well, no one has asked me for any help, so if they do, I'll be happy to run up there and give them a hand if needed, but otherwise, it might be something they just have quietly under control.
All right. Again, it's not my thing either. I'm just, you know, overhearing stuff, and they had a hike last Saturday, but I think it was the Saturday prior to that that she went. So anyhow, I'm where I need to be, but I'll be back in a bit if you're around. W8RPM. I'm curious how your all your signal testing went with your man pack. I was eavesdropping for some of it, but not having the locations in my brain, it didn't really make a lot of sense about what you were saying. So all right, back in a bit. W8RCM.
Yeah, I'll be standing by for a short while here, so shout back when you're back in the vehicle. K8BCW.
N8DUH.
Hello there, Drake. K8BCW. Nothing heard. K8BCW standing by.
I'm here.
Oh, I heard you call back that time. You reading me okay?
Yeah, I threw my call and then I just didn't hear anything back, so I was just like, okay. But anyway, how's it going, Bentley?
Good. How about with you, man? How's that new job working out for you for the first couple weeks?
Well, I'm already at home for the day, so if that tells you anything.
Well, it tells me that they're liking you and they're letting you go early, or they don't like you and they fired you, or you don't like them and you're taking advantage of them.
The first one.
Good for you, man. Glad it's working out for you.
Yep, so I'm making myself a second lunch here. Not quite a full dinner, but more than a snack.
Second lunches are like just one notch down from second breakfast.
Great. Actually, yesterday I made omelets for dinner. That was good, and I might do that again this weekend.
Nice, man. Sounds like a good plan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what's Bentley up to?
Just getting mentally prepared for a little bit of range training tonight and be out in this beautiful weather for the whole evening. It should be really nice. And don't have a whole lot going on this weekend, and going to do some more maintenance on my deck, you know, kind of a progressive project, cleanup, repairs. Now I'm going to be into the staining phase.
Oh, there you go. Sounds exciting. The rain sounds fun. I haven't done that in a while. I'll have to get back at that, though. I haven't really had time, so I wouldn't mind to get the 20 gauge out and shoot skeet again.
Yeah, there you go, man. That's always fun. Kind of hard to have any anger left in you after you've shot a couple of rounds of skeet, that's for sure.
Well, the anger builds back up if you miss.
Not if you don't take it too seriously.
I guess that's a good point.
Steps up on the line with a 410 double over under and ends up hitting every single bird.
Now that sounds like a satisfying day.
So what's on the docket for radio stuff?
Well, I recently acquired a handful of new radios. I got an ICOM 706 Mark II, another Yaesu 897 that I'm using for parts to make a good working one. And then I got like a Yaesu 2900 or something like that, which doesn't work at all. Well, it powers on, but it doesn't do anything, so stuff I got to tear into and figure out what is actually broken.
So is this like bench work? You're going to pull them apart and get your soldering iron out and fix them? Is that your intent?
Yep. I did most of the 897 already. I just got to replace three filters on it. The ceramic filters are notorious for going bad on the 897 and 857 because those two radios have the same main board on them. And the ceramic filters, they corrode internally. It causes a bunch of crackling noises. So it's awful. The radio effectively goes deaf. So I got the filters for it. I just got to sit down and do it. So that'll probably happen this weekend, and that'll be a fun project. And then the 706 Mark II doesn't transmit, but it receives. So either I'm going to make it a really fancy receiver that does all band, all mode, or I'm going to see what I got to do to fix the finals up or the transmitter or something that went wrong. And then that radio is actually smaller than the 897 and would be perfect for portable.
Well, I am impressed by people that can do that work. I don't have the eyes for it anymore and never got the skills. But good on you if you're doing that. Are you fixing these up for friends or people you know? Or are these items that you picked up that you're going to repair and then pedal?
Well, I got them for super cheap, and I knew that they had issues, and I'm going to fix them all up, and then either I'll probably end up keeping them. The 897 I really wanted to have working again, because it's a really nice rig to use portable. It even has an internal power supply, so, you know, you got the 12-volt DC in on the back. But you can also plug it straight into the wall and then just hook up an antenna to it. I've got the built-in tuner for it, or the add-on tuner anyway. So you just plug in an antenna, plug it into power, and boom, you're doing radio in your backyard, or you plug in a battery, boom, you're doing radio wherever you want.
Oh, that's really cool, man. Yeah, that sounds like a neat setup. I had some success with my new Manpack radio, that Anytone 578 with the portable battery and the bag and the antenna, and I just picked up the Bluetooth microphone for it so that I can leave the whole thing in the bag and get enough separation from the antenna when I'm transmitting on 50 watts. And it works really, really good. We did some Simplex testing last weekend with it, and just with that little $10, like, I don't know, measuring tape, a Brie antenna on it, I was able to get some pretty good distances on Simplex. So very impressed with it. It's worked out quite well.
Oh, very cool. That's good, man. That's awesome. I guess I did a little bit of radio stuff. I guess it's technically not radio, like talking radio, but we did some Wi-Fi stuff for work today. A client wanted Wi-Fi for his entire backyard, right? So we ordered this Microtik Mantbox AX15S access point. And his main Wi-Fi system at home is just the stock Spectrum piece of crap that they give you. And he wasn't really interested in doing a full, you know, ubiquity or, you know, meshed Wi-Fi system. So we were like, all right, well, I can just configure this access point to piggyback off of his existing router. And we mounted it up, and I clicked the scan button, and he's on the lake, right? He's right on the bay. And, well, I was picking up Wi-Fi connections from the other side of the lake, or the bay, you know, a good half a mile or more. You know, picking up like Elmwood Marina, picking up the Discovery Center and the Yacht Club, all that stuff, really far away, at the same strength that the Spectrum router was at. So I was like, all right, well, this thing's going to work really good. We hooked it up, was able to walk all the way to the end of his dock, and the speed did not increase, which was kind of awesome. Or decrease, rather.
Wow, it's pretty amazing how that 2.4 or 5 gigahertz signal is going to travel across water like that unobstructed. That's interesting. I mean, if you were a real IT guy, you would have just had him hack into the marina's Wi-Fi, and then he could have cut off his spectrum.
I mean, it was there, but here's the thing. I don't know how reliable that connection would be, but we did tell him, you know, this entire portion of the bay that you can see, you're probably going to have a solid Wi-Fi connection for the entirety of it.
Yeah, so you did him a solid. You got him Wi-Fi on his boat as long as he doesn't wander too far away.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty awesome. I walked down to the end of his dock with the laptop, which is something I've never done before. And I was like, wow, look at that, 70 meg down. I don't think I've ever been over 350 or 400 feet away from an access point and still had full signal like that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man.
All right, man. Well, I'm going to let you go. I just finished up my food here, so I'm going to eat it. Anything you mentioned.
Yeah, good talking to you, Drake. Have a great afternoon. K8BCW.
Hey, Drake, I don't know if anybody told you, but your audio deviation is pretty low. Alpha Charlie 8 Delta Golf.
Okay, I don't know why. I haven't changed anything with this radio. The only thing I changed was I'm using Joe's repeater to talk, so I wonder if the receive is not set right.
I don't know, maybe Bentley concurs, but ACATG, I'm clear.
Well, now that you mention it, you might be a little quiet, but I don't have the best ear for that sort of thing, unless it's blowing me out with a mic that's too hot. So it was good enough for me, but yeah, it might have been a little bit quiet.
Okay, I'll go yell at Joe to go fix this stuff then. Anything you make.
W Mobile.
Hello, Bentley. W8RPM just dropping off a passenger and heading back into town.
Ah, right on. You said that you were interested in hearing about my little experiments with my Manpack radio and some Simplex work around the county. Happy to share some of that with you if you got a minute.
Yeah, I kind of listened to some of you doing it, you know, I listened to some of it going on. But again, it, you know, you guys were talking about location one and location two and all that kind of stuff, and it didn't, you know, really make a lot of sense to me. But it seemed like generally everything worked well. I mean, I don't know how your Simplex stuff worked out or how much range and stuff you were trying to get, but I also just saw a thing online about a guy that bought a enclosure. You know, he bought a canned enclosure from Quicksilver, Quickworks, or Radio Works, or what, you know, whoever, whatever that is. Whoever, whatever that is. And he made a whole, I won't say DC to light, but he didn't just have V and U, he had HF in there too. with a 20 amp hour battery and even a small amplifier, and everybody was telling him that he was so underpowered, you know, that he'd be lucky to get an hour out of it if he was trying to use everything at once.
Yeah, my radio is not designed for rag queuing. I don't know how much time I'll actually get out of it on standby, and certainly not, you know, if I'm doing heavy transmitting, but it's not intended for that. It's just to make contact and convey information, you know, lessons learned from the ice storm. You know, when the repeats go down, where can we connect up with one another at various points? And we had a guy down in Boyne Falls, and he drove north and picked some spots along Chandlerville to try. And I went from my home in Harbor Springs north to a bunch of high points in the northern part of the county. And my buddy was at his base station. He lives on Brutus, off of Brutus Road, between Kelston and Harbor Springs. And he's up at a pretty good elevation, although he does have a couple of hilltops around him. And, you know, we were getting 10, 12 miles on a little portable Manpack radio, which I thought was pretty impressive.
From the Manpack to a mobile?
From the my Manpack to his base station at his house, and vice versa. And I was comparing it to my ICOM 5100 in my truck, and using that on Simplex, and then I threw up the 50-watt mobile radio that's my Manpack with the antenna and battery set up and comparing the two, and the Manpack did quite well.
Good. It's good. It's good to know. Good to know that your efforts were not for naught and that they're actually paying off. So, yeah, redundancy is a good thing. And I, you know, even like in the camper, you know, I have two regular 12-volt, you know, deep cycle. One is actually a deep cycle and the other is a starting. But, you know, I mean, I got a lot of cold cranking amps available there in the camper and nothing to crank with. So just, you know, continuous use for, you know, lighting and the water pump and all that other stuff, you know. And even with that, I have two SLAs that I keep charged with me, and everything connects with power poles, so I could actually run the whole camper off that 7-amp-hour gel cell if I wanted to use the camper, you know, or the 12-volt water pump, or even the broadcast radio, or, you know, any of that stuff. Of course, you know, and I could even do a small inverter if I wanted, but only about to 175 or 200 watts. It's not even enough to run a TV, certainly not enough to run the microwave. But, you know, the fridge is both propane and 12-volt and 110. So, you know, I mean, I have some redundancy built in there. Even if the camper batteries failed completely, at least I could, you know, not be in the dark. And I could still run the radio.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, just having more branches on the decision tree, I think, is a good thing. I cut my teeth on, had a 91 Volkswagen Vanagon camper van, and I went through that thing and modernized the heck out of it and changed all of the lighting to LEDs, put, you know, phone, you know, USB charge ports in it so that, you know, going across country with a 13-year-old, couple 13-year-olds, we wouldn't have an insurrection on our hands. And, you know, had a house battery in that vehicle that would power all that stuff with a solar panel that would replenish it. And the weak part was the battery. And the batteries have just gotten so terrible, they can't handle the cycles that they once did. And I ended up buying a new battery for that thing almost every year because they just didn't have what it took.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's the inverse of how it should be, you know. All the stuff should be coming along with technology. I know that they're shedding the weight by going to the LiPos, but if you're you know, just because it weighs a quarter of what the SLAs did or what the wet ones did, you know, that's all well and good, but not if you're only getting a quarter of the performance.
Well, this predates the LiFos. This was a, you know, an SLA battery, and I'll bet I bought three of those darn things. They're all made in China now. So if you've got a good one, take good care of it, hold on to it, and enjoy it, because going out and buying a replacement, you don't know what you're going to get anymore.
I had that problem with some marine batteries, some of the deep cycle marine batteries. Now, granted, I was not buying top-of-the-line stuff, you know. I was often buying Walmart, you know. But I just realized they did something stupid. It's going to cost me a short round trip, because I left a set of keys in my computer bag, and I took the computer bag in the house, so now I got to go retrieve it. I had that issue a couple years in a row with the boat batteries. Luckily, it was still within the warranty period, but still a pain, you know, because you got to pull the things out and take them in and sometimes fight with them over the warranty period. But I guess it's good to know that it wasn't just limited to my experience.
No, it's not. And for further anecdotal evidence, I've got a buddy of mine that retired a couple of years ago and bought himself a very nice full winter package. Fifth week that he and his wife have been driving around the country and going on trips, and he's got it outfitted with you know, a big solar system and batteries and an inverter, and he's done his research on it, and I think it's designed well. But he ends up having to buy a couple of new batteries every year for the exact same reason. They just aren't up to the task of charge and discharge like they used to be.
Well, we got to have something to complain about, you know. But that's not that tech. It seems like low tech, you know. I mean, it's not like we're talking about microprocessors or, you know, surface mount technology or anything. It's batteries, for God's sake. So, but all right, well, it's good. Seems like repeater's working well. I was listening to the 2.9 Vanderbilt. I just can't deal with their crappy audio and their line level imbalances and all the junk that they have going on. It just gets on my nerves. But yeah, I tried just as a kind of a Murphy's Law sort of thing. Got the camper radios all the way I want them now. Pretty much got the lighting the way I want it. There's still a couple of little things I want to tweak, but so I had a neighbor over, and he was asking me questions about the FTM-400 that's in the mobile, and I took him in the camper, fired the HF up. This is about, you know, 2-3 in the afternoon. Tuesday, and the bands were just absolutely dead. I mean, I couldn't find anybody to give him a decent demo, and all he heard was, you know, static crashes and noise.
Yeah, believe me, man, it's usually better than this. Must be just a bad day.
Right, exactly. Give me a second to run in and grab the mutts and grab my spare set of keys, and I'll be right back. W8RPM.
K8BCW.
Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Lima India, monitoring.
It's 23WW mobile testing.
Echo 8 kilo test.
K8BCW from K8DAT, copy.